Good morning, brethren and friends. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles, I'll be beginning in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Thank you so much to Brother Ryan for leading those songs. I so much appreciate that this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 corresponds, or is close in similarity, to Genesis chapter 6 through 8, in that God gave man a vehicle to be saved from the judgment that is coming upon him. Today, many people have made a spectacle of New Testament baptism. They have not only stripped it of its power and its necessity that is in the New Testament, they have made it more of a ceremony or some type of dedication service. This morning my hope is to study in 1 Peter chapter 3 and the Genesis account of the flood to help us better understand exactly what baptism is. I know many of you are thinking to yourself this morning, I understand what baptism is. I am a Christian. I have been baptized. Or I am thinking about becoming a Christian. I know what I must do to be saved. Perhaps and perhaps not. I think 1 Peter chapter 3 is the place that many people will use a single line from, but perhaps don't understand the entirety of the verse. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 18 through 22 is a place that makes baptism so easy, so clear for us. But hopefully we'll all understand it a little more in maybe some ways we haven't thought about before. I'm going to read this morning from the New American Standard Bible in 1 Peter chapter 3. As it uses a word that is the title of the lesson to that, corresponding to that. You'll understand more about what we're talking about in just a few moments. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 18 from the New American Standard, it writes, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison." Verse 20. "Who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him." Corresponding to that is what we're going to be talking about this morning. How the Genesis flood account corresponds to baptism now saves you. We'll begin in point number one in our notes by looking at the significances of the story of Noah. Number one, let me explain to you this morning that water separated the righteous in the story of Noah. If you'd like to hold a place in 1 Peter chapter 3, I invite you to do so and then go with me to your Old Testaments, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, we'll be flipping between these two accounts. The significance of Noah in this story, first we have to start with Noah, and then we'll make our way to 1 Peter. First point is water separated the righteous. Genesis chapter 6, read with me in verses 11 through 14. It says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch." I would assume everybody in this room, unless you're of the age of not understanding being taught in Bible classes yet, which almost everybody is, the story of Noah. Everybody knows when you say the word Noah, that means an ark, that means the flood, that means mass destruction, and everybody's going to be killed except for Noah and his family. We tend to look at the physical aspect of that and miss the spiritual aspect. God wasn't just angry, and the big angry God is sitting up from heaven and saying, "That's it, you've done wrong, time to murder." It was more than just a physical cleansing of the earth. It was also a spiritual cleansing of the earth, in which the water separated the righteous, that is Noah and his family, from the unrighteous. That was God's plan all along. He cannot allow the earth to continue to be such a place that is such evil. So He uses the water to separate the righteous. If I could make another point, I believe that this application can be made as well in this story. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." As righteous of a person as Noah was, I can only think that the more evil that is around him is the more it could creep into his family. I ask you to ask yourself this morning, the church, your family, your Christian family, how is the world around you creeping into your family? Has it crept in at all? You know that it has in some way, and you have to fight against it to keep out the world, the unrighteous, from within your family, your walk with God. The first significance of Noah is that water separated the righteous. The second significance of this story is that water condemned the world. It condemned the world. You might say, of course it did. It condemned them in that it killed everyone that was unrighteous. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. "Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about these things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." When I say that water condemned the world, again, we might just think of the one side and say Noah was safe. It's much more than that. Have you ever considered just for a moment what water does in the story of Noah? What water does today in baptism, as we'll talk about that in just a few moments? Have you ever considered that in the same time that Noah is being saved, God is also making a very loud statement to condemn those that will not obey Him? The floodwaters of Noah spoke in so many ways. Not just to separate the righteous, not just to save Noah, but also to say to everybody, "You who do not obey me, this is what is coming for you." The significance of the story of Noah are these two things, and one more I want to point out, and that is that we read by faith. By faith. You'll understand more of these points of these lessons as we go on to see the similarities or the corresponding to that between these two. First, what did Noah do by faith? By his faith, he prepared an ark. Hebrews 11, 7 again. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." One of the biggest reasons that my wife and I chose the name Noah for our son is because of my love for the story. And a lot of my love for the story of Noah and his character is this very point. I can't personally imagine going out and having a big place of land in Jackson, Tennessee, and God telling me to do something as crazy as build a giant ark, a giant boat, and yet there's nothing that tells me it's about to rain. But yet, Noah, by faith, was able to take ridicule from people, was able to say, "I don't care what you think, I'm just going to follow God's orders." Do we ever struggle with following God's orders when people make fun of us? If you're anything like me, I would say yes. But by faith, Noah was able to prepare that ark, knowing that if he just obeyed God's word, good things would happen.
By faith, Noah did something else. He entered into the ark. I separate these two because it's one thing to try to obey God, and then there's another thing when the kind of test of time comes. You know what I'm talking about? When you say to everybody around you that you're a Christian, and everybody knows that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, but then it's kind of time to stand up and speak. How often do we have trouble when it's time to show our faith in front of other people? Do we kind of shirk back and we have trouble actually following through? Not Noah. By faith he prepared an ark, and by faith he entered the ark.
Genesis chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Three things I want us to see the significance is, first, the water separated the righteousness. It condemned the world. And third, by faith, Noah followed these things and he was rewarded. Let's pull this forward to today and what this all means to us and look at the significances of today. Water separates the righteous today. We're going to again read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What I want you to understand today is what baptism does for you. I say all of these things because, again, going back to my introduction, too many people in the world make baptism, I think, more than it is. Not that I'm in any way trying to belittle our commitment to God. Not that in any way I'm trying to say that baptism isn't essential, because it is. I'm just trying to make the point that it is what it is. Too many people today make it a ceremony. That's why I think people have such a hard trouble giving their life over to God. They don't want to be a part of a ceremony. They don't want to be a part of some dedication service. People today want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. They want to be Christians. But things hold them back because of the way that the world has made baptism. The way the world has made becoming a Christian. We need to look at baptism and the significance of today at 1 Peter chapter 3 is that water separates the righteous. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 6 and look at verses 3 through 6. Romans chapter 6, 3 through 6 explains to what happens to us once we become baptized. What it is that the waters of baptism do for us. It says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall all be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. The significance of baptism today is that it separates you. When you decide to be baptized, it separates you from the unrighteous world. It makes you a new person, newness in life. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God. What baptism does is it makes you a new man created by God. One more verse for you in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. New things have come. Too many religious people in the world today have made baptism something that it is not. They have made it a show, a sign of your faith, and they say that you've already been saved from your sins. Many people believe today that being saved from your sins is just a matter of saying a prayer, making an announcement, accepting Jesus into your heart, and then later you can be baptized to show everybody what has already happened in your life. That is not what baptism is. It makes me so sad to see people that believe this. I had a friend on Facebook just a few weeks ago made an announcement to me and all of the friends that he has. He said, "So proud of my son tonight. He has been saved from his sins. And then Sunday he will be baptized." It hurts my heart to know that people have made baptism something that it is not. But looking at a scripture like 1 Peter 3:18-22 helps us understand what it is and what it is not. Baptism is something that separates our soul from the unrighteous world, the same as the floodwaters separated Noah from the unrighteous world. It makes us a new creature, a new man. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 3 again. There's a phrase I want you to notice in verse 20. In verse 20 it says, "In which a few," that is 8 persons, "were brought safely through the water." This phrase, "through the water," helps us to understand what baptism does. Through the water, we understand that the flood separated, as I just said. We also understand that the waters of baptism separate God's new children from the unrighteous world. There is a scripture that I go to try to help explain this that I hope will help encourage and explain for you and for you to others. Is Acts chapter 22, verse 16. This is the account of Paul. He's giving or retelling his account of when he was saved. And he says how he was saved. He said that someone said to him, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Paul tells us that baptism washed away his sins. It separated him from the unrighteous world. Friends, you and I can't separate ourselves from the unrighteous world. We are the unrighteous world. The bad choices that we make are unrighteous. The very reason that we take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week is to remember our place and how there's nothing we could ever do to obtain salvation except through Jesus' sacrifice. The Lord's Supper is a place that is very humbling for me as I remember the things I've done in my life, the things I struggle with, and I remember how wonderful grace is. How wonderful of a thing it is that you and I have done things that cause us and our soul to be punished. We understand punishment, and we understand that our souls deserve punishment, but we don't have to have it because of God's grace, His Son's sacrifice, and the waters of baptism that separate us from the unrighteous world. Secondly, just as we saw in the corresponding to that, why these two stories are so similar is the same way. Water condemns the world today. The same time that you and I or anybody is baptized into Christ, there's something else going on there. Mark 16:16 talks about it when it says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Have you ever considered what your baptism does? We all understand what it does for us personally. We understand that it brings us into Christ, that it forgives us of our sins, releases us, gives us grace. But at the same time that any one of us is baptized into the water, is also a sign from God showing if you do not do this, you will be condemned. The same as the waters of the flood are the same as the waters of baptism. Thirdly, the corresponding to that is this: by faith. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, we appeal to God. This is perhaps one of my favorite points to look at and to draw out for us to understand more about baptism in 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 21 with me again. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. Have you ever thought about exactly what this means, an appeal? I think a lot of people look at this and they don't understand the full amount of what this appeal means. They just look at, well, baptism now saves you. I understand this verse. That's good enough. Let me help you understand what the appeal means. You know what an appeal means in our language. It's a legal proceeding by which a case is brought before a higher court for review for the decision of a lower court. Isn't that what we're doing? When we ask God to forgive us of our sins, we're going to the higher court, asking Him to do something for us. What means more in this definition is a serious or urgent request, an earnest plea. That's what baptism is. It's not a dedication ceremony. It's not a service to show the world what you have already done. Baptism is your plea, my urgent plea, Father in heaven, I have sins on my shoulders. I have things in my life I'm not proud of. You know that feeling. You know that feeling of having something weighing on your conscience. Here in our baptism, we appeal to God and we ask Him urgently, please forgive us of our sins. That's what our baptism is. It is an appeal to God to please cleanse us from all the things that we feel awful about. Where the faith comes in is that every single one of you this morning that have been baptized, you know that feeling, that wonderful feeling of just being free. Feeling before you got baptized that you could go to hell. That you're disappointing God. That you're letting Him down. You're the same as people that crucified Christ, but then you go into the waters and you know that feeling. It's a wonderful feeling of being cleansed from everything. You no longer have to have anything on your conscience because you know by faith that you have been forgiven of all of these things. By faith, we appeal to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14 to help us explain this even more. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh. Notice this. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's what we are before we are baptized. We're full of guilt. We're full of dead works. But Christ's blood cleanses our conscience. By faith, we make an appeal. That's what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says. By faith, we also enter into Christ to be saved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. I do not know a way you can get around it. I do not know how many religious groups look at it a different way. God speaks very plainly when He says, corresponding to all that happened in Noah's story, is everything that happens to you, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By faith, we understand our appeal will be answered, and by faith, we enter into Christ to be saved. Not the only place you go to find this. You find this very thing in Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and so many more that we can continue to look at together. That shows us exactly what happens. This morning, I hope that you will have a new understanding of 1 Peter chapter 3. Yes, it is a place where we can go to and says that baptism now saves you. But I hope you see that the storyline helps us understand more about it. The storyline of understanding Noah helps us understand and explain to other people what baptism does for us today. I want to close by asking you to go with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you're turning there, I will put up on the screen behind us to make this final point. Understand that the ark was the vehicle for salvation for Noah. And understand that Christ is our vehicle for salvation. So much to understand and to learn from these two. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First, if I could, just for a moment, I want to separate my thoughts to close out this lesson together. First, I want to talk directly to you who have been baptized. If you have not yet been baptized, I'm not saying you have to tone me out, but just for a second, if you have, focus in with me, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, read verses 54 through 58 with me. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Those of you who have been baptized this morning, I want you to look at this verse, hear this verse, go home, read it again. Remember what baptism did for you. Don't take it for granted. Don't take your grace for granted. Remember what it's done for you. O death, where is your sting? It has no sting for you. O Hades, where is the victory? It has none. Death is swallowed up in victory for you. How do you continue to live the life where death is swallowed up in victory? The very last verse, 58. If you are a child of God this morning, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Appreciate your baptism. Appreciate your salvation. Live it out in your daily life. If you have not yet been baptized for the remission, release, forgiveness of your sins, please just for a moment focus in on the last words that I had to say for you. If there was somebody in your life, a family member, a spouse, a mother, a father, a close friend, and if they asked you, do you love me? You would respond with yes. And then what if the next question that your spouse, your friend, your parents asked you was, to prove your dedication that you love me, will you go dip yourself in the pool? I highly doubt any one of you would say no. No, I love you, but I will not show you. You would say, sure, no big deal. If that's all I have to do to show you that I love you, I would be glad to go dip myself in water right now. Where's the nearest water? Let's go. Yet so many of you believe these things to be true. Answer these questions in your head this morning. Do you believe that God is the Creator? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is His Son, that He came to this earth and died on a cross to save you from your sin? If you believe that, do you believe the holy word of God that we just read that says baptism now saves you? If that is the case, remember these things. Remember first that all baptism is, it is an option for you to be separated from this condemned world. Secondly, it is your appeal to God to please forgive me of my sins and cleanse my soul so I can have a home in heaven with you. And third, it is your obedience that shows your love and dedication to God. It doesn't have to be a show. It doesn't have to be a big ordeal. In the New Testament, every time somebody understood the gospel, they always wanted to know where the water was closest so they could get it done immediately. This morning, stop building stuff up inside of your head. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Do you want to be His disciple and please Him
then allow us to help you put on Christ this morning in baptism. Shane told us the water is ready. All things are ready. All that's waiting is your decision to become a child of God. We can help you. We ask you to come right now as we stand and sing. Yeah.